The first scripture reading today is from the Hebrew Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 2, and chapter 2, verses 22 to 23. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What do mortals get from all the toil and strain with which they toil under the sun? For all their days are full of pain, and their work is a vexation. Even at night their minds do not rest. This also is vanity. Amen.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to that person, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And Jesus said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this text is clearly and unequivocally about material wealth and comforts that provide us a feeling of security. And Jesus makes no bones about the fact that that sense of security is a false one, liable to evaporate in the blink of an eye along with all we have stored up for ourselves. A quick Hebrew lesson. The word vanity that we heard in our scripture reading this morning from one of the most famous lines in the book written by that infamous biblical cynic, Ecclesiastes, it actually means, you know, we think of vanity as you look in the mirror too much or you care about your appearance too much, but it actually means in Hebrew breath or vapor, that all that we think we gain from our labor, all that we spend anxious nights worrying about how to protect or control, all of it's as temporary and fragile as a breath, liable to disappear as quickly as water vapor dissipates into the atmosphere. Jesus and Ecclesiastes both tell us that it is useless in the end, such stockpiling, such worrying over how to get more and then manage it all. And it also distracts us from our primary purpose, to be rich towards God and towards others. In other words, if we're orienting our lives around how much money or power or status we can get and then gorging ourselves on the profits, we're doing it wrong. I planned out this summer scripture text without checking the launch schedule for Virgin Galactic or Blue Origin, the space tourism companies founded by billionaires Richard Branson and Jeff Bezos, respectively. But sometimes the Holy Spirit moves, and the news cycle lines up exactly with the scripture for the week. I definitely think that what Jesus is saying here is applicable to today's billionaires. Financing private space tourism for the entertainment value is a big old barn built when the rich fool's fortunes got too large for their owners to know what to do with them. In the words of financial analyst Ken Herbert, it's Disney for the 1% of the 1%. Though there are certainly problems with billionaires who funnel their vast amounts of money into aid for their preferred causes, you can't help but wonder how much Branson or Bezos could have done to alleviate childhood hunger, say, instead of going for a 10-minute joyride, only 3 minutes of which, in Bezos' case, were actually free of gravity. But I also can't help but wonder what it's like to be someone who has so much money, such an insanely huge amount of wealth that people have to make TikTok videos using grains of rice, just a few grains of rice for average people and then mountains of it for the billionaires, to help us conceptualize just how really rich they are, what it's like that there is not enough on earth to satisfy you. I think it's likely that Bezos and Branson have a real passion for space aviation. I think it's even possible that some of this, like the SpaceX, the company launched by another billionaire, Tesla founder Elon Musk, maybe they'll even help streamline and advance space technology in a way that benefits humans. Their fellow humans, I should say. But what must it be like to have billions, literally billions of dollars at your disposal, and to decide that what you want to do with that money is not to provide clean water or internet access to whole regions of people, not to fund schools or lift families out of poverty, not to tackle the mental health crisis or incentivize racial equity, but to chase the novelty of 3 minutes of weightlessness? What must it be like to build an entire company around the chance to share that novelty with other super rich people? What must it be like to have everything you've ever dreamed of, to possess more than most people can wrap their minds around, and to still feel dissatisfied, to still chase something more? Though we might wish that we had a little more of the billionaires' money in our bank accounts, I think we all have a little bit of their apparent dissatisfaction in us. Most of us have bought things or paid for experiences that we didn't need or even want, chasing the temporary high of a new possession or the illusory boost to our image, while we glossed over the hollowness or the hurts that made us want something novel, the loneliness or the boredom that made us want something more in the first place. I know that during the pandemic, I have definitely spent more time on Poshmark, which is an online site that helps you find secondhand clothing to buy. As you may know, most of my wardrobe is secondhand, and it turns out that when you are stuck at home with just your family and can't go to be with people in person at church or see friends or visit family, there's always the internet. And so it would come 10 o'clock at night after I'd put my kids to bed, and I had some time to spend with my husband, but I'd been with him all day already. And it just seemed easy to click buy and then be waiting with excitement and anticipation for something new to come in the mail. Maybe you've been there, I don't know. So every month I have bought something on Poshmark, but every month also I have set it up automatically so that some money goes to two of my favorite nonprofits. One is, and you've heard me talk about them before, Together Rising, which basically aims to take our heartbreak at what's going on in the world and funnel $5 a month or $25 a year from many, many thousands of people into a response, to giving that money to organizations on the ground that are there when there's a wildfire or when a gay teen gets kicked out of his house or when there is a refugee crisis in Syria. And the other place that my automatically goes out of my bank account into a nonprofit is the Loveland Foundation, which aims to make sure that there is mental health resources accessible to Black girls and women who are particularly traumatized in our society. And I have to say that when I read the reports on what those two organizations are doing, it also feels really good, like that package coming in the mail. It's a good feeling, but it's a completely different quality. It stays with me. It feeds my soul to know that that good work is going on and that I get to be a part of it. Whereas when something new comes in the mail, it's exciting for a day or two, and then it sort of, the shine wears off a little bit. Friends, I don't think it's that we have to be perfect, never purchasing or posturing for less than noble reasons. We are human, after all. It's not that we have to use every cent of our money for a higher purpose. But think back to last week's sermon on the Lord's Prayer, how it encourages us to ask not for endless zeros and commas in our bank accounts, not for ever more dopamine hits from the new package that arrives on your porch, but it encourages us to ask for what we need today, for enough. And think of what God has promised to give us whenever we ask, as we talked about last week, the presence of the Holy Spirit, an abundance of peace and joy and love and kindness, the chance to see the material gifts we have not as buffers against our fears and insecurities and pain, but as opportunities to practice God's generosity that has been given to us so faithfully. If you're like me, sometimes you're not so good at accepting generosity, whether from our fellow humans or from God. Sometimes, if you're like me, maybe you refuse to admit that you could use help. Or maybe you think about all the ways that if you say yes to someone's gift or offering, you'll be indebted to them. In order to be rich towards God, I think we first have to practice receiving gifts from God. Maybe that's through mindfulness or meditation. Maybe it's a gratitude journal or a simple deep breath or a whispered thank you. I know that after I read Robin Wall Kimmerer's book, Braiding Sweetgrass, I walked around saying thank you to all the flowers that I saw, which, of course, seems a little weird in our culture, right? But I noticed that it made me appreciate the beauty of each one instead of just walking by and taking them for granted, and then come winter, you wish that you'd spent a little more time soaking in their beauty. Because I think when we don't do that, when we don't practice receiving those gifts from God, then we end up like a Bezos or a Branson, always hungry for more, never satisfied with the simple miracles that God litters our everyday life with. But once we are able to truly receive God's richness towards us, it becomes so clear that the only possible response, the only real, true desire we have is to share those gifts with others, to be rich towards others in return to God's richness, sharing what we have without fear and with an open hand. Which, of course, is the only real way to be rich towards God, who doesn't literally need our dollars anyway. God can't go on the internet and click buy, right? May we all think about, in the coming weeks, maybe all think about what our 3 seconds of weightlessness is. The thing that we chase when we feel that what we have isn't enough, or that who we are isn't enough. May we admit honestly in front of God what that is, perhaps with a rueful smile on our faces. God has a sense of humor, I believe. And may we ask for the grace to recognize when we're about to try to fill that hollow place with something that does not satisfy. May we each ask God for the thing God will surely give us, the eyes to see that what we already have is more than enough, so that we may learn to find our delight not in vanities, not in things that fade, but in being rich towards God. Amen. Friends, may you go out into this week and out into the world with your eyes open, your hearts open, curious about where God is going to show up and give you something far more satisfying than you could ever imagine. Go in peace.